Hello, it's Friday, August the 8th. Welcome to another episode of We Are Curious. And today we're sitting with Felix Ochieng, who is the lead analyst at Kenyan Wall Street and HISA, and Eric Asuma, who is the CEO of HISA. And we have a couple of things that we would love to discuss. Of course, my name is Ali Mwakaneno, your usual host. And before we get to the discussion, Eric, how has your week been? What are some of the things that you noticed that you'd like to talk about this week?
Thanks, Ali, for the introduction. It's been a crazy week on my end, personally, but overall I'm very excited. I'm very optimistic about the work that we are doing at the company to make things happen from by giving people financial information, as well as what you are doing on the technical side to make it happen, to enable people to start trading on his app.
How about you, Felix?
Hi guys, it's usual the crazy week. Here trying to look for a few news here and there about Uganda, if there's anything interesting about our East African friend. But generally my week has been good. There's been a lot of stuff that have been happening across various financial markets. Last week we saw a lot in regards to with regards to companies releasing their financial results, mostly for companies that are listed in US markets. We saw a lot of movements from the big tech companies, and also this week we have seen a lot more developments, mostly in the Asian side, and also a lot of effects from COVID. So I think I'm praying that wherever you are, guys, you're definitely keeping safe and hoping that things that you do really turn out well. So that's it for me, Eddie. I really don't know. You've not told us how your week was, man.
Yeah, my week has been crazy. It's been back-to-back recordings, a couple of great interviews coming up next week, I think. And well, as usual, there's always depressing news in Kenya. And for me this week, it's the NHIF saga. And I cannot wait. That's actually what we're opening the discussion with. So maybe just to start the chat, guys, NHIF. The insurance that we have that we're not necessarily sure we need because, well, it's not as functional. So NHIF is facing a cash crunch after around 5.7 million Kenyans defaulted. And according to an article by the Kenyan Wall Street, news is that 54% of its members actually stopped making monthly contributions. And that has dealt such a financial blow to the national insurer, to the point where it's actually unable to settle claims, and it's also unable to meet some of its administrative expenses. So, you know, apart from the fact that, well, due to the fact that it's running broke because Kenyans are not paying premiums, Parliament is actually considering a rate review. Set at every 5 years, mm-hmm. And according to the review, I think NHIF is planning to increase monthly contributions, and the plan is NHIF is actually planning. It already increased the monthly contributions from around 350 to 500. That was the first increase, but now we're looking to review sort of the rates every 5 years. I don't know what you guys feel about this. Eric, maybe.
Mm-hmm. It's quite sad, man, given that, look, this is the country's national insurer that's mandated to provide public health insurance to the public. So it's quite sad what's happening, but I think this can be attributed to the pandemic, right? Mm-hmm. A majority of people lost their main sources of income, and that trickled down to they couldn't make their monthly or regular contribution to the national health insurance. So probably the government might bring in some reforms to ensure that people start making their premiums, but this is largely driven by the current pandemic that has affected the members.
Felix,
well,
please. Yes.
Really, it would be interesting to just chip in to what NHIF is really pulling in. But we also really have to notice that I think we're in a very bad state as a country, because we're already getting a lot of inflammatory pressure, mostly due to inflation coming in across every sector. You know, guys are still being paid the same amount of money they've been paid. Employers are getting more taxes than usual. Companies are being taxed heavily. So you want them to increase it to another level. And then also one thing that NHIF, which is a national insurer, should have really faced is, you know, NHIF is that insurance company which is supposed to be affordable to everybody, right? And so you're seeing to a point where we have guys who survive in less than $1 a day. How do you expect them? Less than $2 a day, according to World Bank statistics. And how do you expect guys to start paying probably 10 times or twice as much as that? So these are the challenges that I think our government really has to put into. And also guys should be able to know that the proposal to amend, to review NHIF rates every 5 years is in a bill that is the National Health Insurance Act, which is supposed to be coming into Parliament. And if parliamentarians approve it, most likely they will. But there's a lot as well that's happening with NHIF. Remember, a lot of private hospitals have also been suing NHIF left, right, and center for the national insurer not being able to really give them payments for the services in which they have provided. Because we have, I think we have about 8 hospitals that are currently suing NHIF for non-remittances of claims.
You know,
there's still a lot.
Allow me to play devil's advocate here. I know earlier we had suggestions that the government was planning to make NHIF mandatory for every adult Kenyan. And that's basically every adult will be paying the normal 500 shillings every month, which is around 6K every year. You know what, Felix?
Mm-hmm.
I think having a national insurance is a good idea. Having a national insurance where everyone contributes to the kit is a good idea. My issue is this functional? Because if we're pulling money, because the amount of premiums that NHIF has access to based on its scale are, they should be okay. I really don't have the numbers, and I wish I could talk to a health insurer here. If we have any health insurer on the call, you know what, reach out to us, and we'd love to host you in the next podcast and really break down this thing. But anyway, back to the subject. What I'm saying is, Felix, if NHIF was functional, I don't think I would mind every Kenyan paying for it. Hell, the proposal to amend the contributions after every 5 years makes sense, because within 5 years, almost the cost of everything has changed. Yeah? So it's realistic. But then again, as we do that, let's make sure that the system is damn functional, you know?
Yeah, and which I think the system doesn't really favor everybody. But then also, to be honest, I think NHIF to some extent has also been very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Because nowadays we're seeing most insurance companies would shy away from giving insurance services to certain people. We're also seeing like there's a certain age limit which most insurance companies would provide medical insurance cover for. And come on, I believe my grandma is somewhere back at home and she's about 70 years old, and NHIF would gladly pay her medical bills. At least to some extent, not fully though, but to some extent. So,
Felix, go deeper into what that extent is, because there's that.
Well, you know, they would pay for the pet, definitely. And also one or another would pay for the medicine.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing that you have to pay for personally is stuff like consultation. And in most of the time, they would gladly be used in public hospitals, and private hospitals would have an issue with NHIF. But it also comes into that bit where they're offering you, I think, certain level of comfort, and that really comes out something that's good for me, I believe. So we're really just pushing in, and then we check on it on the market. So, you know, if you're comparing NHIF to other insurance companies in the market, you know, there's a lot that I believe you can be able to push through with this even before you start looking onto. Because guys are making, if you look onto insurance penetration data in the country, Ali, there's a lot that you can be able to really just figure out and you say, like, no, we are joking.
Eric, do you think it's a good idea to have a national insurer? And yes, how would you prefer a national insurer runs?
Interesting.
Let me make this more interesting for you. I presume you have a private insurance cover somewhere. Would you be willing to pay the same amount of premiums you pay to your private insurer if NHIF was more competent?
Reliable.
I think that's the main issue in terms of how competent or reliable is the current National Hospital Insurance Fund. The challenge we have at the moment is it's not that reliable. In as much as you make some of these regular payments, it won't cover you fully in case of in case you get into a child with threat.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, my view has always been it's good to have both a private sort of insurance cover,
mm-hmm.
and also pay for the public insurance cover. There's a way this one, if you make your regular payments for the national insurance cover,
mm-hmm.
at some point it's of great help once you need some top-ups.
Right.
Yeah.
I think you guys are mentioning very important aspects, Ali, but we also really just have to accept on what's really happening, mostly with the national insurer.
Mm-hmm.
And we say there's a lot of corruption as well from within. But Ali, here's a very interesting factor. Look at how many guys are paying for NHIF, vis-a-vis guys are paying for taxes and care, and the number of guys filing for nil returns. Then you'd know that as much as we want to blame NHIF, we want to blame all these other government agencies for what they're doing, in reality, there's a lot that we need to do, even for citizen responsibility. So there's still a lot more that we can be able to look at this level for. Because if the government is looking at making it a compulsory place where everybody, every single individual, as long as you have your ID, you are automatically registered for NHIF, you know, then they have to make it very affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's one way that we need to look at it. Ali, you imagine somebody who's somewhere, it's mandatory. You get into your campus and you went to university and you have your ID card, right? And you're automatically registered for NHIF. This needs to be affordable so that everybody can be able to access this, because if a million of the people you've registered in the service cannot pay for the service, then why do you even need to provide that service?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
I wish I have the data here, and Felix, maybe you might be able to help you. Amongst the three of us, you're the data geek. Away from the problems of NHIF, there was also this news that caught my eye this week.
Mm-hmm.
You numbers people might be able to describe this better than I ever will. The Central Bank of Kenya is lowering capital requirements to back mortgages from 53% to 50%.
Mm-hmm.
Asuma, what are we looking at here?
Interesting. Great. So that news and CBK's move essentially is meant to encourage banks to give out more mortgages in the market, and which means banks will have more capital to lend to the common man,
mm-hmm.
in order to access the mortgage products, whereby we've seen very low uptake of some of these mortgage products. And when I saw the report, I think that should be operational from, was it early last month? If I'm not wrong. But from, there's an organization that was recently formed called the Kenya Mortgage Finance Reform, the Kenya Mortgage Refinance Company, KMRC. So that's the one that's also expected to support some of these local banks to make sure there is an uptake of some of these mortgage products. So I think it's a good move. We hope there'll be an uptake of some of these products by the common man.
How about you, Felix? What do you think?
Well, I think one of the things that we've really complained for a very long time has always been about mortgage access in the country, where guys are saying you'd rather rent than own, because owning will probably be expensive. So you'd rather save until you can be able to own, rather than go through mortgage, because mortgage is actually If you look onto the data, guys would often say mortgage would be way expensive than you even having that, you know, taking that loan and directly buying your house. So, because mortgage rates should be very low, but in the country, we've always seen mortgage rates almost the same level as banking rates, the usual loan rates. So, it's a good thing for CBK to figure out ways in which they can be able to provide liquidity for that market. And also at the same time, just allow the local, you know, local man, the local man to really access this. Where if Ali wanted to access the mortgage, then they could access it at least, because if they're bringing it to rates, because KMRC say they would look on bringing the rates to even as low as about 3-4% man. Who would want that, man? Everybody would. But currently, mortgages, an example, if somebody is going to case, if you go for their mortgage, then there would be a lot of fees. When you'd be paying an effective annual rate of about 8-11%, which is way, way high.
I think allow us to circle back to this later, maybe moving to a piece of news that might have is an understatement that actually shook the markets today.
Mm-hmm.
Felix, have you been watching Safaricom?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So you probably know that M-Pesa has been cleared for Ethiopia's expansion.
Mm-hmm. We gotta stop here.
Asuma, what are we looking into? And I'd like us to address this way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ethiopia has been cleared. Ethiopia. Sorry, I keep missing my words.
Just say Ethiopia and M-Pesa, and we pick it from there.
All right, cool. So, Safaricom's license will be upgraded to include financial services if it completes building for the second telecom operator permit. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In the same line, MTN is not joining this race, guys.
Mm-hmm.
So
they quit.
Yes,
MTN tried for the first time, and the second time they said, you know what, we are not doing this.
So the Ethiopia Communication Authority, I think it's on the fourth, announced that they will be opening bidding for the second telecom operator license, which will include mobile money services. And later MTN announced that, you know what, we're not doing this. It's going to be hella expensive. And then today, news that hit the market is Safaricom is actually permitted to upgrade its license, but then they have to bid for the second one. Two questions.
No. That's Wait. Not the statement.
Sorry.
They're actually saying, sorry for cutting you short, Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Ethiopia is actually telling the ECA, Ethiopia Communications Authority,
mm-hmm.
is actually telling guys, Safaricom, that wait, hold on first, let us first get our next licensee. Mm-hmm. Once they finish, now that the Ethiopian Communication Authority finish, they complete the bidding process, you know, and award another license, then
mm-hmm.
Safaricom will now be able to upgrade the license. So what guys are not getting is that this is not happening today. You know, it's not like they have been cleared to do the telecommunications, the mobile money services today.
Mm-hmm.
What they're basically being told is, you know what, we are opening the second bidding for the license for, I think that is the 50% stake for Ethiopia. 40%, right?
Mm-hmm.
For Ethiopia, or they're allowing one of the other for second license actually. The Ethiopia process is another.
Yes, that's a whole different kind of one.
Yeah, so they're allowing for other guys to come in on board, and they're telling them, you know what, the second guys, they're not going to give you guys mobile money, but Safaricom, you guys are here first. So what you have to do is, you have to wait until we finish with the other license, which now the bidding is actually the bidding is inclusive of mobile money.
Mm-hmm.
And then now Safaricom will come in immediately after they complete that process. Then Safaricom will now be able to apply and probably be granted access for mobile money services. And sorry, I didn't catch you up on that. Yeah, really sorry.
No problem. Actually, I'm happy you brought that up. Asuma, just before you go in, just to quote the Director General of the Ethiopian Communication Authority. What will be permitted for the second licensee will be permitted for the first licensee. So yes, the second license will include mobile money, but that the first licensee, which is the Safaricom consortium here, will also get mobile money rights after the bidding process is complete. Two, One thing that we're sure is the first and the second licensee will have a chance to start providing mobile money, mobile financial services at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, this is how I'm looking at it here.
Mm-hmm.
Ethio Telecom had a head start in both mobile money and telephony. Safaricom had a head start compared to other new members who bid further in telephony after Ethio Telecom. But then whoever enters the market right now for mobile money services will run concurrently with Safaricom should they choose to go for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So we're still seeing a hurdle here. I don't know if you guys are looking at it, but it's pretty much addressing. Though, let's really hope that Safaricom gets to the company that comes in. I think some of the companies that are really interested in bidding for this would be Orange, the France,
mm-hmm.
Orange SAS,
mm-hmm.
the telecommunications company from France that was previously a majority shareholder in Telecom.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really, really keen on to looking onto in Ethiopia. But have you guys noticed that wherever we have Vodafone, MTN seems to keep off? I don't think that space is really interesting. I don't know why.
I never looked at it.
Yeah, if you look at it from a local perspective, MTN and Airtel, Bharti Airtel, are almost head to head in every market. But when you get to where Vodafone and Vodafone get involved, then it becomes pretty interesting because one of them really plays a majority. Even in markets where they share, you'd always find one of them either has a majority, a growing majority over the other. So probably could be a reason why MTN is like, nah, you guys got this, you're not coming into it anymore.
Eric, what do you think about this whole Ethiopian fiasco?
Great. So, Ali, I think it's quite a positive. It's a positive sign for Safaricom. Ethiopia has such a huge population, and Safaricom will be one of the first people to offer mobile money services. I think it's going to be a great achievement. And from the market, what we are seeing looks like investors have begun pricing in on that. Today, Safaricom's share price actually shot up. Looking through my ISA app, which is on the beta version that has the order book, quite good numbers coming through. Safaricom did a volume of about 3.2 million, turnover of about 137.5 million, opened today at about 41.30 and closed that, hit a high of actually 42.75, which means by Monday, if Safaricom hits 43, that should be the highest ever. Right, Felix?
And I like optimism that.
And then look, now looking at the order book, we are looking at the asks of about.
That is at market close, right?
Yeah, at market close, we have asks of about 18.3 million, right, on the ask side.
Mm-hmm.
Then on the bids, we have about 18.6 million. Massive. Look. We are in a market whereby Safaricom looks it's very dominant in the stock market, and I think Safaricom is always on the news from a positive standpoint, and I think this is good news, and that's why investors are keen to get a piece of this particular company. But looking at the potential, you know, investors usually price in the future earnings of a company and looking at the potential of that company. And look, Safaricom should start operations in Ethiopia in around 2022. So I believe that's what investors are pricing in. And look, looking at even how the fintech companies are raising money outside here, how Airtel Money is making moves and raising money, I believe this is my personal opinion, Felix, and Ali, this is my personal opinion, so it's not investment advice. I think at 43 shillings, Safaricom is undervalued when you're pricing M-Pesa and some of these future projects like expansion into Ethiopia.
You know, as we talk about the Safaricom consortium, guys, there's something that I'd like to mention here. I was looking at the national digital payment strategy for Ethiopia. I think it's for the next 4 years. And I was reading the challenges section specifically, and there are four key challenges that they've mentioned, which are digital payments, and I think mobile money services by extension will face in Ethiopia. And I don't think it's an if here, but then until Safaricom speaks, I shall keep quiet. But then if and when Safaricom joins Ethiopia, one of the challenges that they're going to have, or one of the things that they will really, really have to build on, is the amount of traction in digital payments. We already saw in Kenya that Safaricom is making up to shillings, I think around 40 million shillings monthly from pay for goods and services through Lipa na M-Pesa. You know, what are we looking at Ethiopia? Because what we see here is the demand for digital payments is lower in the country. So in as much as, yes, the country has a huge potential, yes, the country has a huge population, but the benefits that we're prospecting, or the benefits that we're looking into here, will most likely take long.
I agree with you, Ali. You know, one of the things that I think that Safaricom CEO Peter Ndegwa has mentioned over time is they have the technology, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have the tech aspect of putting in Safaricom into a mobile money leader in the region. That includes Ethiopia as well. But there's a lot of factors that we have to look into, even as they are investing and probably pushing into this country. And then one of the things as well that also Peter Ndegwa has mentioned, and I keep telling this to investors all the time, is that, one very important aspect is that this is a high risk, high return market. One of the recent high risk, high return markets that maybe guys don't want to compare, because it was a totally different company in our recent times, has been ARM cement company. Well, we're not looking at Safaricom from a level of ARM, but if you just want to understand, is that in 2012, ARM really had a high prospect of expanding in growth within East Africa. And then ARM, the CEO then, Pradeep, Pradeep Kundrama, actually said that they're moving into Tanzania and they're going to build East Africa's largest clinker plant. That was by then. And then what happened next was that the investment that they did in Tanzania, and then the various the legislations in Tanzania that came in and badly affected the company. Those are one of the things that really pushed the company to probably stress debt levels. So these are things that people need to understand. And also remember that Safaricom is getting the consortium, and now let's call it Safaricom Ethiopia, is getting a lot of funding, and all these are acting purely as loans. So that's one thing that guys really need to understand, and this is going to be a bad debt. Not really a bad debt in like financially bad debt, but it's going to be a heavy debt for them until they can be able to break even. They have the technology, they have everything, but then you also have to look on to the financial literacy levels of guys in Ethiopia. Giving them a new product which they do not have for very long time, it's actually going to be that thing in Ethiopia right now, guys.
when you say that, you make it sound like the 8 years behind us.
Okay, I'm not saying that
there might be in other ways, but yeah, don't say it on air.
Other ways, but it's kind of, the calendar for Ethiopia is, the Ethiopian calendar is 2030 right now. So are we looking at levels of which we are going to have the same investment that ARM made? You know, we're looking at tech. This is tech, and it's not something physical like ARM, of course. But to what level of expertise? We've seen Safaricom even tap onto the CEO for Vodafone DRC, and he's the one who's been brought in on board. That's Anwar. The skills he has definitely are interesting things, and we're really hoping that things won't turn out the same, will turn out differently. But it also comes on with one of a very important aspect that a lot of guys have mentioned over time, and that is the importance of support from the Ethiopian government. A lot of concerns guys have really had about the level of support from the Ethiopian government, you know, for investment that are made. And one of the things that investors in KQ can tell you is that there's a point when KQ would outrightly claim that repatriation of funds from Ethiopia. That's when they had their office in the base. They had a sort of other office in the base, and they said one of the hardest places they've ever seen where repatriating funds was a challenge to them was Ethiopia. And I know that's something you're aware of, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we really have to look onto this from various angles. We've seen Abi, that's the PM for Ethiopia, saying that yes, they would let guys easy access. There won't have any challenges. They're trying to change the FX laws as well. They've seen Ethiopia doing a lot, including even planning for a formal stock exchange, mm-hmm. right? But these are things where listing for companies like Ethiopia Telecom, which they're planning to sell a few stake to, and they say 50% by the government, 40% by the new company, whichever company will be bidding for partial ownership of Ethiopia Telecom,
mm-hmm.
and also 10% to the public.
Mm-hmm.
And that 10% is most likely to be through listing on the stock exchange. Actually, there's rumor that Ethiopia Telecom could be the first company to go live on Ethiopia's stock exchange, because I think earlier last month, Abi actually signed that into law, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's opening ways for a formal stock exchange. And we'll be able to look into this way. We'll see on various aspects in which this can happen. The only other concern that we really also have to look into with this fire from a person moving into Ethiopia is that if the investing on the other side, on Ethiopia, will be capital intensive, and they have to now use some funds, some investor funds, or I know definitely they didn't just go in and say they need 4 billion and they're telling investors to give them 4 billion dollars, you know,
mm-hmm.
or they need at 8 billion. These guys actually formed the largest FDI that Ethiopia has ever received.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a very interesting thing. So one of the things that I think is really coming in as a concern for me is what level of that will be able to impact the investor in the short term, not in the long term, but in the short term. Will they be able to continuously grow the dividend payments like they have been? Or they will be able to look at the cash reserves that they've been having, you know? Are they going to be able to push these funds into other markets as well before they can be able to pay to investors as well? Though, one of the things that I think Ali mentioned a while back in one of the sessions is that there's high possibility support will continue paying the dividends, but the growth for that dividend might be low until they probably look onto the growth. They might be able to look first into the strategy and investment that they make in Ethiopia.
Eric, maybe is there something that we might have left out before we proceed?
No, I think Felix has structured that quite well.
Can Safaricom move into Uganda?
Hey, they're still working with the same. They're still working with the same old president. So go easy.
I'm not part of that, guys. If you're listening to me, I'm not part of that.
Away from that, guys. Safaricom's shareholder, Felix Vodacom, the MD. The Vodacom MD for what is it called? Give me a second. The Vodacom MD for Tanzania resigned this week.
Mm-hmm.
Hisham Hendi. I really love this guy on Twitter. So Hisham Hendi resigned from Vodacom Tanzania. What do you have to say about that, Eric?
First of all, guys, just before you proceed, this is very much news. Sorry, I can't keep silent with this. For our guys who've invested in Saitam, there's very big news. Capital Markets Authority has just a few minutes ago directed Saitam Asset Managers Limited to either change its name or stop onboarding clients with immediate effect. Yeah, more of that you'll definitely be able to get it on the Hisa app. I know the Kenyan Wall Street team is working on the right bit and they'll be able to get to that news. And back to you.
I'm not touching Saitam.
We are not touching Saitam.
I'm not touching Saitam.
We are not touching Saitam.
Yes. Asuma, Hisham Hendi.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the things that some of the things that we really saw under his leadership was the profitability and the dividends from Vodacom Tanzania. So, for example, The company paid a dividend per share of Tanzanian shillings 24.41 after rising profits.
Mm-hmm.
Do not convert that to Kenyan money, you will be depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we like apart from that we had increases in service revenue. So, for example, in May 2019 services revenue crossed Tanzanian shillings, the Tanzanian shillings 1 trillion mark, recording around 1.016 Tanzanian shillings trillion. And I think also on the bad side is Hendi is leaving Tanzania at a time where the government is, you know, planning regulations that do not necessarily favor mobile money, specifically the mobile money levy, which lowered transactions on Vodacom by around 45%, according to the Citizen. How do you guys feel about all this?
Look, on a positive note, I think he showed some quite good leadership skills at during his tenure. That's when they listed on the DAX stock exchange, right? In 2020, they also had they released very impressive numbers. They released very impressive numbers. So I can't really call it a blow, but hope they'll find a replacement for that. I think, if you remember very well, there was a Kenyan who was appointed to lead that particular organization.
See her name.
I think one of the most diligent and a smart ladies in Kenya.
Yeah,
Sylvia
exactly.
Meninge.
Yeah,
Sylvia. Yeah,
she was active. Sylvia was very good. Tanzania had a lot of politics.
Yeah, a lot of politics, man. I'm sure she could have performed very well in that particular role. So I think, look, I can't say it's a blow, but I think what happened, there's a time that they were facing a number of challenges at a personal level. There's a time, I think, in around 2019, where he was facing a number of criminal criminal charges with the Tanzanian government. I don't know if that's what really led into this resignation. But look, it's quite a solid business, a good company that I would definitely put my money in. So hopefully they'll find a good replacement for that particular role.
I think maybe pulling the conversation locally. I think earlier today we had reports that the National Treasury is forecasting that the economy would expand by 6.6% this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, on your taxes.
Yeah, this is what the expansion is pegged in. It's pegged on the increase in vaccination. Which is also sort of opening up the country. So we've seen that the hotels, restaurants, and travel has reopened, which is attributed to increased GDP growth. And the number of hotel workers have increased by around 62% compared to pre-pandemic levels. That was in July.
Pre-pandemic?
Sorry. More of 62% of pre-pandemic.
Oh, okay.
Yes, sorry, I missay that. And something that we've noticed also is shedding light towards the optimism by the Treasury is that matatus will be carrying full capacities from Monday. Do you guys feel like we're being too optimistic here?
Can you say public transport rather than matatus?
Is there any other form? Oh yeah, never mind. Public transport, guys. You know, I'm stuck in Nairobi, so my current form of public transport is matatus.
Yeah, so public transport. I think one of the things that has really brought the pressure on public transport is the recent news of Modern Coast. Because it's not only Modern Coast, but Modern Coast is one of the largest public transport companies to really say that they're moving their offices to Rwanda, which would make them to. So I know you're from the coast, and there is a news that probably will affect a lot of guys out there, but Modern Coast say that they will move their offices to Rwanda because of the tax environment and the general business environment in Kenya. And then they also, I think 2 weeks ago, they halted the public transport services. So they only say that what they'll be focusing on will be the courier services, because the public transport bit was not feasible anymore. They were saying, come on, we're paying half the number that you're supposed to pay and get fuel prices have skyrocketed since then, you know.
Yeah.
So they said they're not going to do that anymore. One of the things that I'm personally concerned about is the level, because we've seen Kenyans and we know ourselves, guys. We know just what level of engagement that we have, mostly in closed spaces. You know, so Ali, don't.
Yeah, that did not come out right.
Yeah, well, come on. You know, we've seen how guys, even in parties, you know, we see how guys having house parties, and we see, and at this level where we're having a new COVID variant that's coming in. It's a variant that's coming in. It's really, really interesting. Just what's really happening. We are seeing the Delta variant also being coming about.
The Delta plus variant, actually.
Oh yeah. Oh, this. Oh, so it's like there's level one, and then you upgrade, and then now you upgrade again, and then you get that Delta plus, right?
Yes.
Okay. Interesting.
I feel like I'm looking at vaccination from. First of all, I am curious where we're at with our vaccination levels as a country.
Mm-hmm.
But then Africa-wise, we're at
2%. We're 2%, guys.
We're at 2% as a continent.
One of the data that is recently coming from fully vaccinated country. Like
is that they're locking down?
Israel is locking down, can you imagine? And Israel has 99% vaccination rate. Literally everybody in Israel has been vaccinated, and we see this happening. I think we're going to get quite a huge mess generally. So these are things that we really have to look into as a country and as a nation. But allowing, and guys, this is just an honest thing. I know you've probably read this and you've probably seen this tweet go out there a lot of times, but remember, the government is opening these sectors not because it is safe for you to go out, but because the economy is bad. So the economy, it's not you. So once again, just to reiterate, that guys should really need to push this up and let it trickle down to you at the lowest point, that you need to keep safe and just be safe wherever you are. And if you're traveling with public transport, also guys, remember to keep safe always. This is the time when you wear those long sleeve shirts all the way. It's cold everywhere, you know. And when you get there, you take them off and you have to wash them and everything comes in clean. So pretty much interesting. But we'd also love to hear those guys. What you think about the resumption of full capacity on public service transport? I think it would be something that would be very interesting for those of us who really pushing this as well from various sectors. I know there were a lot of complaints from the guys from the Matatu owners. Because they were saying trains are actually carrying full capacity. We are seeing airplanes are carrying full capacity. So why not us? You know, that's what the Matatu owners were saying. Right? So why not them? So they've been given back that power to carry guys in full. I think that enactment begins on Monday next week.
Yeah, Monday.
But I know that with that announcement, come on, we Kenyans, we know that this evening we'll probably get a few Matatus that are already full. Yeah, pre-expectancy of the efficiency of roads. Interesting. Now, the only challenge with me is that they're going to have the Sambaza back into our Matatus.
Sambaza. The little wooden block.
Yeah. That's the wooden block. We're most likely going to see guys having over 14 passengers, mostly for the small seaters.
14? You know, I played the Limuru Matatus. I have seen 22 people in a Matatu during this panorama. 22. I still don't understand how the conductor managed to fit 22 souls into that vehicle.
Leave alone 22 souls, Ali. How did 22 souls agree to fit inside a Matatu that's supposed to carry 14? You know, guys know there's a pandemic, but nobody's taking that precaution. Because the precaution is definitely supposed to be coming from everybody.
Yes, but then that route actually doesn't have enough people serving it. But then that's a discussion that I'd love to have separately.
Yeah, definitely you need to get somebody from the transport sector. I don't want to be stalled, you know, because I use a Matatu as well.
Moving, what do you think, Felix?
Mm-hmm.
We've had COVID-19 in Kenya since mid-March, yeah?
And you just said it was ready in 2019, but we only discovered it in mid-March 2020?
Yes, no. just like some people from other parts of the world discovered Mount Kenya.
Oh yeah, like they discovered, can you imagine they discovered Mount Kenya? And it's in this
Don't. You weren't supposed to get this attached. Do you think it's time we actually give up on COVID ever going away and actually start just living with it completely? That is just making sure that, you know what, take maximum precaution, but then we know that no matter how hard or how hard we try to lock down the country, this thing is not going away.
Well, Ali, come on, let's be honest. We had COVID-19, and then we had the Indian variant, we thought we'd kill the whole planet and start a new age of species. And now we have a Delta variant.
Delta Plus.
Delta Plus. Actually, we had
really Delta. Keeping up with the iPhones, yeah.
We had we have that. Oh my god. Okay. So, you know, we definitely we have in we initially there was also the South American strain from Brazil. And come on, initially there was the one from the UK strain, you remember?
Mm-hmm.
Then it went to the South African strain, it was way, way worse. So we're just speaking, guys, come on, we have, how many countries do we have there globally? We have about 100 and more countries? Should be 160 something, right?
No, there are more than that.
Yeah,
or we should be more than that. I think they're around 193.
193, guys, we still have a lot of these versions to really come into. The Kenyan strain is yet to really eat anywhere, you know?
I mean, if the Kenyan strain performs like the government, then the world is okay. Inefficient to the core.
Oh, man. I forgive him in the country, man.
Felix,
mm-hmm.
What is, what's something that you noticed in global markets?
I think for global markets, we can leave it for the week, for markets Monday.
Mm-hmm.
But just to tell you guys, there's been a lot of information really happening with central banks across the globe. One of the markets that is really coming in is the Brazilian market. And also, we see that despite a lot of activity on Wall Street, even hitting all-time high, we've seen a lot of concern really coming in on the Delta variant for COVID. But you know, guys are talking about the Delta variant because this is something that is predominantly in the US. Yes, we have in various, we're seeing it spreading across globally,
mm-hmm.
but the effect is still pretty low. This week, I think also on Wall Street, one thing that stood out was the jobs data for the US market, and we'll be discussing that on Monday during the markets Monday for that. So we're still seeing this really coming in hot, but one of the things that is standing as a concern for me, and I believe should be a concern for you if you're investing in global markets, is the effect of various Chinese companies, the effect of the Chinese regulators onto the companies that are listed. This week, there's been a lot because we're seeing Chinese media really talking about companies that are listed. You're talking about gaming companies. We saw companies that bring to you guys games like GTA, for example, or another company that gives guys
companies like esports.
Yeah, esports. You know,
you don't game, do you?
Yeah. No, I do, man.
We'll get you a new Friday activity. Don't worry.
Yeah. So you know, we're seeing Chinese companies, Chinese regulators are trying to see in ways if they can be able to control that market. It's becoming pretty much interesting for you and for me as an investor, most really likely to happen because we're seeing as long as Chinese regulators are going to continue mentioning about the gaming market. Remember, China started first with Bitcoin, then it hits hard on tech companies, and we are seeing some of the worst losses, you know, for guys, but also seeing a very important aspect as well for gaming companies right now with the regulator. It's like you've seen those movies where the robot is looking on you, some other person,
mm-hmm.
and you're staring at them and you're wondering, they look at me. And then they look at you, they turn back on you, and you're like, oh my god, I should have run away. So that's probably the level at which you're at. I think also one of the things that really stood out for me in global markets was Robinhood markets. The share price rose and gave investors close to 90% in terms of, close to 100% actually. in terms of returns.
Jesus.
From, can you imagine, probably it's market listed on Thursday, 29th. That was started the previous week. And as a company, it was trading at about 30, at about 70. 70 shillings, $70 and 89 cents per share. So one of the things that banks are saying that Robinhood actually did was they listed on the higher end and then on the lower end, so that investors could be able to make money from the big. And you see, I think like the coins, I don't know how to call her, but you see guys like that, they will, you know, the names that they give them, leave alone by apes. So if you don't know who apes are, you definitely need to Google who apes are. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's like definitely to Google apes of investing. That's it. Just Google apes of investing. We figure it out. Yeah. So apes have given happy certain names. Happy Elon Musk. This amazing will be given various names. And last week on Saturday, Cathy actually said that ARK investment will continue, and will even double the investment that they did on Robin during the IPO by another extra 62.5 million. And so, really coming in hot there, because that is one of the reasons why the share price really went up. But sadly, on the sad note is that yesterday, on Thursday during Thursday's trading session, Robinhood actually dropped about 7% on trading. And still, we don't know why, but nevertheless, we're hoping that is a buy opportunity for you as an investor on to the market. I leave back to you.
Something I'd like to look at, Felix, is cryptocurrency tax. Look, I will not touch the earnings of the many, many companies because you've discussed that on Markets Monday. Guys, it's been a crazy week. We've had earnings from Uber, Dropbox, Bookings, Virgin Atlantic, Adidas, or in the words of the baby, Adidas, Moderna, and Huawei come out. But then something I'd like us to look at is the US Senate is proposing to raise $28 billion through extra cryptocurrency taxes. So far, the news of that taxes has not really, really affected investors. But then, have you looked at this piece, Felix?
Well, Ali, you know, yes, it is true that the US market, the regulators are actually looking on to raising raising the taxes to crypto, but we're seeing guys like Brian Armstrong saying that doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
I think it doesn't make sense.
Why do you think so?
Come on, how do you tax something that you don't regulate?
It's government.
Yeah, they're saying they're only interested in the state, so why?
I feel like so far analysts have said that, you know what, the tax might actually be a good thing because it's going to give cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin much more exposure. And something that we might notice is maybe this might dissuade retail investors, but then in the end we won't see much change. And I'm looking at BTC prices at this point, as of this conversation. BTC is trading at 40,000. Hey, it's risen, but they haven't followed BTC in a while. It's trading at $40,734.01, up 6.42% in the past 24 hours. And I think we're seeing that most of the other cryptocurrencies are also green for today. Ethereum is up 0.01%, trading at $2,768. XRP up by 1.72%, trading at 0.72. Stellar up by 1.44%, trading at 27 cents. Dogecoin, Felix's favorite,
Elon Coin.
Is trading at 20 cents. Polkadot up by 5.06%, currently trading at 19.74. And just in case you're curious, other coins that are also green today is Litecoin, Bitcoin, Cash, Rapcoin, and the Graph. Felix, is there anything else that we might have left out?
No, I think we're just there in the governments globally to try and regulate. You're like, it's a dare, come beat me, I'm here. It's only those who like, I send you my pain and then you come with this bad place. Because, come on, Ali, you can really regulate something against. You can regulate, but you can't have something that you don't have any roots, typically.
Yeah, I think another big news that we saw on crypto is that Coinbase users can now buy crypto with Apple Pay. That's big.
Oh yeah, and also Xiaomi has said they'll be accepting Bitcoin.
Bitcoin, Ethereum, and other cryptocurrencies. I think is it limited to Portugal?
Yeah, for now.
Some good news, man.
Yeah.
What are you looking for next week, apart from Markets Monday?
Apart from Markets Monday, I'll be looking on meeting you guys again for another awesome session like we did today.
I think for me, I'm looking to just have more. I hope COVID goes away that way I can have more in-person discussions with just, you know, members of the audience.
Yeah, and also guys, if you're in the medical sector, remember we talked about this thing, but please feel free to reach out to us. You can reach out and we'll definitely be able to get in touch with you. So you can be able to send me a text. So you know the text, send a DM onto any of our platforms and then we definitely be able to reach out to you so that you can be able to give us your thoughts regarding the impact of COVID on the impact of the new regulation that's on the country. You know, what's your take? So that's it.
Cool. That's about it. Thank you for joining this episode of We Are Curious. It's going to be live in a bit, and I'm going to share the link on various platforms.
And tuning, check it out on the HISA app. Definitely, you don't want to miss out. So go to HISA. This session will be there in a few minutes.
Perfect. Thank you for joining us. Bye.
Bye-bye.